guys. Today, we're going to discuss tools newly created by Microsoft specifically for professional data scientists. My name is Vadim Karpasenko, and I'm a cloud developer advocate, and I'm in studio with Ashish. Ashish, introduce yourself.
Hello. I'm Ashish Bhateja. I'm a program manager on Azure Machine Learning. And today, we are here to talk about the newly released Azure Machine Learning tools and services that should help a professional data scientist to run an end-to-end data science workflow.
Nice.
So before we get started with the demo, I would like to showcase some of the capabilities of the new tools and services by going through just a few slides, and then we can jump onto the demo.
Yeah, it will help us to understand basically why, what kind of components we're working with and how they all integrate it.
Sure.
Awesome.
So let's get started.
Yeah.
So what you are seeing here is a set of what we call as Azure Machine Learning Services, Experimentation, and Model Management Services.
Okay.
And then we are also releasing Azure Machine Learning Workbench, which is a desktop application. And the same capabilities that Azure Machine Learning Workbench provides, we are adding the similar capabilities to an extension inside Visual Studio Code Tools for AI.
Okay, so basically developers who are already using those IDEs will not need to do anything, right? They can use those additional plugins to basically write Python code, and then model management system will help them to manage all of those runs, right? And keep track of their experimentations.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much whatever abilities that we have in the workbench, you can have pretty much all the functionality inside Visual Studio Code with just one caveat. There's a data preparation aspect to it, which is only available in Workbench. And we'll get to it as we jump onto that.
Yeah, yeah. And believe me, guys, it's a really cool capability. All right, go on.
Okay. So what Azure Machine Learning and the related services provides you is the ability whereby, as a data scientist, you can start simple. You can start building your models and doing a data prep and experimentation, all that stuff, on your laptop right there.
Okay.
And as you see that you have to scale out or scale up to a cloud scale, you can use any of these options that you see on the screen on the right hand side. You can scale to like a Spark cluster or a GPU virtual machine sitting on cloud and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this gives you a lot of power whereby you can use the cloud compute to scale up and or scale out your models.
Depending on your requirements.
Yeah,
if you, for instance, doing some deep learning, then probably GPUs is your choice.
Exactly.
Right?
So, awesome. Exactly. So how do you get it? How do you get started? So UI you are familiar with, this is Azure Portal. You go to the Azure Portal. You can either go to, as I've highlighted here, AI and Cognitive Services section, or you can just search for, say, machine learning, and you'll be presented with options of provisioning an experimentation account and a model management account.
Got it.
So these are the prerequisites before you get started, because this is how we manage your experiments and we manage the models that you end up creating.
Yeah, so basically that's how my results of the experimentation will be recorded, and that's why we need this account.
Exactly.
Got it.
So this is the screen you'll be presented with. It's a usual screen on Azure Portal whereby you can provision a resource, you get your experimentation account, and there's a section to get a model management account here, and you also end up providing a storage, which is what we'll be using to manage your experiments.
Makes sense.
And once you're done with it, you'll be given an option to download the Azure Machine Learning Workbench tool, either for Windows or, if you're a Mac user, for macOS.
Okay. Any plans for Linux?
Linux is supported. Linux is supported not with the workbench, but Linux is supported with the model management. So you can manage your model still on a Linux. And in fact, I'll be showing off how we deploy it on an ACS cluster, a model on an ACS cluster, which is running on Linux.
ACS, that's the container cluster, right?
Exactly, yep. So real quick, this most likely is my last slide before we jump onto the demo.
Awesome.
So as a result of getting experimentation account and the model management account, you have got this ability. In the experimentation account, we will keep track of your projects. And as I said, you can start simple, start on local. As you are clear that, okay, now you want to go to production, you can scale up, scale out your models and your experiments and whatnot.
Right.
And we'll also be tracking your run history as part of the experimentation account. With model management, as the name says, we'll be maintaining all your containers for the models.
Okay.
And we'll enable you to manage and monitor your deployed models.
Got it.
So think about scenarios whereby you need some sort of lineage or auditability.
Yep.
You want to see like 2 years down the line what all models you developed, why you chose the one you chose, and kind of explainability around the models.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this whole model management account helps out.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Got it. Cool. Okay, do you want to start with a demo?
Sure. Or real quick, we can just go through maybe the experimentation service as well.
Yeah, if you have a couple of slides.
Yeah. So this is what you get as part of experimentation. And before I jump into it, I really want to sort of take a step back and talk about the data science lifecycle.
Yes.
A professional data scientist usually starts with, usually you have a business problem to start with. Along with the business problem, you have lots of data.
Mm-hmm.
So a data scientist ends up spending a lot of time on preparing that data.
And cleaning the data.
And cleaning the data.
Yeah. Oh,
what
man.
We also call as data wrangling, right?
Or yuck shaving. I heard this term before.
Yeah. Yeah. So once you clean the data, once
mm-hmm.
you get the data into a shape whereby you can reason over it or
yeah.
build models out of it or run experiments on it, so that step is called a data preparation step.
Mm-hmm.
After data preparation, once you have data in that shape, you can run experiments on that data.
Right.
And that's where we enable agile experimentation.
Okay.
Once you are clear as a data scientist that, okay, I'm fine with my experiment and
mm-hmm.
I'm fine with this model, which is what I want to deploy now,
right.
that's the last step, a very important step, where we enable you to deploy your model as a REST API.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So with this in the background as the data science lifecycle, this is what the experimentation service provides you. And on your extreme right, as I said, you can start simple. You can start running experiments on a local machine.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect a data scientist to start running experiments straight away, let's say, on a GPU.
Yeah, that doesn't mean
right?
make sense. Yeah.
So you can start simple, start local. As
mm-hmm.
you see a need, you can scale it to what we call as data science VM on
mm-hmm.
cloud, or you can
yeah.
scale it out to a Spark cluster and machine learning server and whatnot.
Makes sense.
So this is what you get with the experimentation service.
Mm-hmm.
And now, once you are done with the experiment, again, going to the last part of the data science lifecycle, which
mm-hmm.
is model management, we let you deploy your models on a Docker container.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about it, this is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
If you can deploy, Docker is a standard right now, today, right? So it's a container, right? So if you have deployed your model as a REST API in a Docker container, the same Docker container which is running on your local machine, again, you can start simple on your local machine,
mm-hmm.
or what we call as a single node deployment, and you can then take it to Azure Container Service,
right.
Or you can take it to like edge devices, Spark clusters, and whatnot.
Right. It allows you this reproducibility of the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So scaling out becomes extremely easy. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a Docker end of the day. It works as well on your on-prem or cloud. So
makes sense. All right.
So yeah, with this, let's jump onto the demo.
All right.
So the UI you are seeing here is the Azure Machine Learning Workbench.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a quick walkthrough of how the UI looks like. So you can create a new project from here. So the key thing to point out here is, I mean, project name directory is your usual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can provide a Visual Studio or a VSTS Git repository URL.
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely useful. If you want to collaborate with a fellow data scientist as
mm-hmm.
you're working on certain experiments together, so this enables that kind of collaboration.
So
right?
VSTS, it's Visual Studio Team Services.
Visual Studio Team Services
mm-hmm.
Git repository,
yeah.
right? So you can just provide that here, and it's optional. If you don't
mm-hmm.
want to use it, you don't have to use it, but we give you that capability.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can provide workspaces. Workspaces are essentially ways to sort of manage your projects. You
okay.
want to keep certain projects under a given workspace, and
mm-hmm.
and then we give you quite a few samples to start with,
mm-hmm.
and backed up by an amazing documentation. If you go to help and go to documentation, you will see tutorials there whereby you can run these samples and learn about the tool.
Okay.
So I won't create a new one because I already have a few projects created. So what you're seeing here are my workspaces here. Under the workspaces, I have the projects here.
Mm-hmm.
So again, taking a step back, we have a data preparation phase,
right.
and then experimentation and model management.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over these one by one.
Okay.
And as you can see on the homepage, you have some cool stuff, links to documentation,
right.
videos and whatnot. So
everything you need just to start, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
So jumping on to the data preparation. So as we have talked to various data scientists within mm-hmm. and outside Microsoft, we came to know about an interesting thing, which is a data scientist ends up spending 50 to 80% of their time on preparing data.
Wow,
so before they jump onto all the cool stuff of building models and running experiments and whatnot, right? So we wanted to make sure that we provide an experience mm-hmm. whereby data preparation becomes an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where what we have come up with is what we call as intelligent data preparation.
Okay.
And you'll see what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add a data source here by going on this link. I'll probably just add a data source real quick. And for the demo purpose,
quite a few options.
Yeah, for the demo purpose, I'll quickly go and pick a CSV.
Mm-hmm.
I have some weather data here. And
mm-hmm. All right, so it allows you to preview what will be in each of the columns.
Yep, exactly.
That's good.
And I'm keeping my default options. You can get the sample data if you're talking to, let's say, Azure Blob Storage.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get all the data on your laptop, and I'll just say finish. I'll just keep it the default settings for now.
All right.
Right? So once you see the data here,
mm-hmm.
you can look at the metrics, and you can check various metrics. Like number of missing values, and this gives you at a glance a quick idea of how your data looks like.
Right.
And
because for many models, you need to have all the values populated, at least with zeros or something.
Exactly, or you want to see outliers and stuff
exactly.
like that, right?
Yeah.
And then as you hit on prepare, once you're ready to prepare data, it asks you to pick what we call as a dprep file. I mm-hmm. already have one, so I will not create a new one. I'll just say okay here.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me to this data prep data flow. And this is the data prep file here.
Okay.
Okay. So what I want to showcase here is real quick on how we make use of what we call as PROS, Program Synthesis by Example.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technology built by Microsoft Research, and we are making use of it here in this tool, what we call as intelligent data prep.
Okay.
So usually, so let's say in the example I'm taking here is, based on my business scenario, I want to transform this data.
Mm-hmm.
So usually for this kind of a problem, a data scientist would write a code in Python.
Yeah.
In this
use regular expression something like that, right? Yeah.
So in this case, what I'll do is I'll just do a right click and I'll pick and you can see there are a lot of options here.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll pick an option here in this case, which is derive column by example.
Mm.
So as the name says, instead of coding, I'll be providing an example or my intent.
Okay.
That this is how I want this date to look like.
Okay.
And based on the example I provided, it'll synthesize a lot of programs in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a program that meets my example.
Do you know what kind of machine learning technique actually it uses behind the scenes?
Oh, this is PROS. That's what I was referring
PROS.
To.
Okay.
Yeah, the program synthesis by example.
I was thinking maybe it's like some sort of RNNs or I don't know.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can give it, depending on the complexity of your scenario, you can give it as many examples as you want to.
Uh-huh.
So let's see how it works.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, based on my business problem, I don't like date in this particular format.
Uh-huh.
Rather, I want to provide a date in a different format as needed by the problem I'm looking to solve here.
Okay.
Right? So I'll just provide a date. So caps lock is on.
Okay. As always.
Yeah. So I'll just provide a date and in this format, right?
Mm-hmm. So it already give you a couple of suggestions, kind of standard formats.
Exactly.
But you can choose whatever
and
fits you.
Yeah. Another interesting part is, in the original date, there is also a time alongside it.
Yeah.
For my problem, I want to look at this time in a 2-hour window.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if it is at 12:54 a.m., I would rather like to see it as a 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. kind of a
makes
thing.
Makes sense. Kind of put it in a bucket, particular bucket.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I'll just say 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. So I'm just telling it my intent. This
right.
is how I want to look at it.
Okay.
If you look at rest of the rows here, they're all null. And the moment I hit enter, based on the intent or the example I provided in the first row, it will try to change the rest of the rows. Right?
Okay, let's see. So did we guess it correctly or not?
Then when I expand it. So as you can see, it has changed other rows, and then it gives me an option. So if you see, it is still analyzing data.
Mm-hmm.
So where I've highlighted, it is still analyzing, it is still making a change to the rest of the rows, right? So, and as you can see, it has changed quite a few of those. I can already see some of them are not really correct.
But they are overlapping, in this case at least, right? And
yeah.
We can fix it.
So, and once it is done, it's done analyzing, it says, okay, I can review what it has done, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So as I click next, I clearly see, okay, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's not what I want, right? So I can go in here. In this example, in this case, I would rather want it like a 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
because
yep.
it's 3:54 p.m., right?
Yep.
So the moment I say enter, now think about it. I've given it another example now.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of training it
mm-hmm.
with more and more examples so that it learns from it and
right.
generates that code and it changes the other values accordingly.
That is really nice. That allows you basically avoid all this pain of creating your own regular expressions
yeah.
or writing Python script to
yeah.
manipulate.
Yeah, and think
That's
about
nice.
The power here. You can change a sample data on your local laptop or desktop.
Mm-hmm.
It generates a Python script out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply the same script to maybe
whatever
other
data
sort
you
of
have.
Millions of rows
nice.
Sitting somewhere on the cloud
okay.
in an HDI cluster or something, and just it'll change it for you.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to showcase as far as the data preparation is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So again, now let's move on to the experimentation part of it. Once
okay.
I've prepared my data, I can now run experiments on it.
Right.
So for experimentation, I would like to go to a different project, Iris here.
Oh yeah, Iris dataset, classic
yeah.
one.
yeah, classic one, like a hello world for data scientists, right?
Yep.
So, and I can quickly give an overview on how this left navigation bar looks
mm-hmm.
like. This folder icon, again, stores all my files, my Python files, and all the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have this, what we call as a run history, on what all experiments I've run so far.
Okay.
This is the notebook area, whereby
mm-hmm.
we enable you to use Jupyter notebooks that
mm.
you, as a data scientist, you know and love.
Right.
Exactly same interface here. You can start using Jupyter notebooks
nice.
Right in the workbench.
So if you want to experiment iteratively, so to speak, test some of your ideas,
mm-hmm.
Jupyter notebook, this particular part will be perfect for you.
Exactly.
Nice.
And it is exactly the Jupyter notebook, again, as a data scientist that you know and love.
Yes.
It's just a part of the whole product. As
Very
such,
nice.
Right?
All right.
So, yeah, and this is the area where you prep data that we
That's
just talked about,
data.
Right?
Yep. Got it.
So. Now, going on to the experimentation part.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, this is again one of the examples that we have in our gallery. I
mm-hmm.
would strongly encourage you to play with it. We have tutorial based on it, and you can look at all the steps yourself as well.
Okay.
But just to quickly showcase, so in Iris, it's a very well-known data set whereby we will determine what type of flower it is
mm-hmm.
based on these four values.
Right.
As you are seeing here, like a sepal length, width, and a petal length and width.
Mm-hmm.
So these four values will be the input values, and
right.
based on this, it's a typical classification problem, right?
Yeah.
So based on this, using a logistic regression, we will determine whether, like, what type of flower it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
and there are three different types of
exactly
of iris.
Yeah. So, and as you can see, I'm using like a logistic regression here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm providing some regularization rate. If you do not provide a parameter, I just pick like 0.01 as my default.
Mm-hmm.
And once I'm done with the experiment, I'm storing a model in a well-known Python format, which is a pickle file, model.pkl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all to it. I mean, simple script.
But I probably want to emphasize, Workbench is not an IDE, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't recommend you to edit your Python codes using it. For that, you have special tools like VS Code, for instance,
mm-hmm.
right? Or whatever you prefer. We're using this tool specifically to prepare your data, then use code created somewhere
mm-hmm.
else, but then to manage all of those executions, to track them, that's why this
exactly.
tool was created.
Yeah. That's a very good point. And so just to sort of emphasize more on that,
mm-hmm.
you can in fact open your you can configure your IDE.
Mm-hmm.
So you can open this project
nice.
In VS Code,
nice.
Right? It lets you configure your IDE. If you work on PyCharm, you can configure it in PyCharm. So we give
Perfect.
You all that freedom there,
Perfect.
Right? So that's a good point. So going back to the demo, So in this case, we just looked at Iris sklearn.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just run it. This is my experiment essentially, right?
Okay.
And as we go to run history, we'll let it run. And a key point to note here is, while it is running, if you look at this dropdown, I'm running it in my local mode.
Right.
And if you think about the slide that I was presenting, you can as well run it on the cloud,
mm-hmm.
right? So like in an HDI cluster, if the computation power of your local laptop CPU is not enough,
mm-hmm.
you can as well run an experiment in a GPU on Azure or in an HDI cluster on Azure.
But you can also run it locally, but in Docker environment,
exactly.
right? In the container.
Yeah.
So that you can reproduce this environment in the cloud. In this case, all the dependencies, mm-hmm. the same environment basically mm-hmm. will be executed there.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the runs.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
This is the run that just got completed.
All right.
And it gives you, so now this is what we call as the run history.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you, as you are doing various runs, how's the accuracy of your experiment is changing.
Right.
And how's the duration is changing. In this case, I have my custom parameter regularization rate.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I can pick like my experiment that has been, let's say, most accurate. I can mm-hmm. pick this one. So as you can see, as I highlight this point in the accuracy graph,
mm-hmm.
it gets highlighted everywhere.
I see. Right. So you can easily, by graphics, by plot, find what was the run, what parameters you used, mm-hmm. basically, even if you, can you run multiple scripts? And or for each individual script, you will have different logs. Log screens.
Oh, for each individual script, it's different. So as you can see here, I have some runs for the score file, some runs the sklearn file, and so on, right?
Okay.
And then you can go to a specific experiment
mm-hmm.
or a specific run and see more details, like whatever you have logged here, like your regularization rate and accuracy.
Okay.
And you can see like awesome visualizations to let you decide if
mm-hmm.
if you're getting what you want from an experiment, right?
But you will have to implement those visualizations,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
You will have to use Matplotlib, for instance, to create those plots.
Exactly. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And this is where we give you a freedom of whatever you can use in a Python script, essentially, right?
Mm, right. So I guess that's the most interesting part for the developers. If they already have their model and they're using, I don't know, a framework like TensorFlow
mm-hmm.
or CNTK
mm-hmm.
or something, what they will need to do with their code to actually utilize all of that nice capabilities of
mm-hmm.
experimentation services and model management services.
Yep. And then we provide various logs. I mean, you can see if something has gone wrong, you can check the control log, or the driver log shows you essentially all the output.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I mean, since we are logging all things, it's saying, okay, I've plotted this curve and the confusion matrix plotted and all that stuff, right? So, and as you can see, it clearly tells us based on what we are logging that we have run this logistic regression on this data. This is the regularization rate that we have used.
Mm-hmm.
And based on all that, I mean, it determines what type of, in this particular case, what type of class it is.
Can we quickly go to the original code just to see how we're logging those data? We basically need to import one library and then use those log commands, right?
Yeah,
that's how
sure.
you do it.
Yeah. So this is your run logger library that we are talking about.
Uh-huh.
And as you can see, various places where I'm logging certain stuff. So for instance, here I'm saying my regularization rate is this, or
right.
I'm doing a run logger.log. This is
that's how you log it.
Yeah, that's how you log it.
Nice.
Okay. So, and another interesting thing here is if I come back to my run list, not only you can log your own custom metrics that
mm-hmm.
you have provided in your Python script, you can also compare multiple runs, right? So you can compare these two runs to see how are these different. So for example, in this particular case, I know I changed my regularization rate from like a 10 to 0.01.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly see how it has impacted your accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
That lets you as a data scientist take a call on, okay, which is the model you want to go with in your production.
Right, so if you have multiple hyperparameters, that's going to be a really good choice to basically choose which hyperparameters
exactly.
you need to optimize for next.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is how like you run your experiments, and once you have run your experiment, as we have seen, we have also logged, in this particular case, we have created what we call as a model file, a model
mm-hmm.
pickle file, right? And that's your model that you want to deploy in your Docker container.
Right, so at this point you're done with the training, you're basically collecting all of those weights or whatever internal parameters you have in your model, and you will be using it to then do the inference,
exactly.
Do the prediction.
Exactly, and this is where that model is that we were talking about. I have already downloaded it on my local so that I can start deploying it now.
Nice.
So that's the next step we'll be moving to.
Okay.
So we are done with data prep, we are done with our experimentation, and now we'll moving on to deploying our model as a REST API.
Great.
So deployment is done. You can actually go to file and open command prompt. And this is another feedback that we've got from, because once it gets to deploying a model, that's a step usually not done by data scientist. It's usually done by like a DevOps or a developer kind of a
or data engineers. I heard this term before.
Data engineers, right? So they love using PowerShell or command prompt, right?
Yeah.
So you can open command prompt from here and then start working on what we call as model management.
Okay.
Right? So in this particular case, I've already set up the environment just to sort of save some time here.
Okay.
So essentially we are talking about just three commands here actually, right? So you, so we are extending the Azure CLI, which developers know as AZ, AZ CLI. Right?
CLI, that's the command line
command interface. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have extended it, and we are using what we call as AZML. ML is machine learning, obviously.
Yep.
So this is your first step whereby you want to set up your environment to sort of deploy your models, right?
Okay.
So we are just saying here AZML environment setup and providing an environment name here. And providing a location, the usual Azure stuff, and just providing dash C here stands for we are deploying a cluster environment. So I'm deploying it as an ACS cluster on the cloud. I'm not doing a local deployment.
Got
I can
it.
As well do a local deployment, but I want to show off ACS cluster
in the cloud.
Deployment.
Makes sense.
Right?
Yep.
So once you do that, it asks your subscription and all the usual stuff, creates a resource group for you, and it takes some time, 10, 15 minutes, and then provisions all the resources. In the background, it is provisioning like the whole ACS cluster, your master node, your agent nodes, and whatnot, right?
So all of that is done for you behind the scenes.
Oh, exactly.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can actually have a look at it on how all those resources look like in the Azure portal.
Okay.
So as you do that, you're done. You're set up with your environment, right? And you can, and again, for any command, you can just say, like in this case also, you can say AZML environment setup dash dash help. If you want to see any help around
all
around
additional
the
options available
all
to
additional
you, parameters,
options.
Yeah, makes
yeah.
sense.
So then you can just look at your environment that you have set up, just confirm you're happy with it. You have to make sure you tie a model management account to it. Remember how we talked about like this is the account that will be used to manage your models.
Yes, yes.
So just like you have an experimentation account to manage your experiments, we were looking at run history and stuff. Similarly, you need a model management account to manage your models.
Right.
And we'll again look at all the models in the Azure portal. So once you set an environment, tie your environment to a model management account, and then you're ready to create a service. Then there's another command you call AZML create real-time service. So in here, as you can see, we're using the model file. We are using what we call as a score file. And there are steps in our documentation on how to create a score file. So in the interest of time, I'm not like going there right now.
But developer can just follow those instructions
exactly.
and we'll reproduce all the steps.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you can provide a schema file and just provide the environment. In this case, it's a Python environment. And I just run this command of how to create a real-time service, right?
Okay.
And as you can see, like there are some interesting steps here. First of all, we are registering the model, okay? Which is the model.pickle file.
Yeah,
there.
That's how we're going to track basically what's going on there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we are creating a manifest. And from that manifest, we are creating an image. And then we are done.
Okay.
So once this is done, now as you can see, the service ID, it is actually deployed on a container in ACS cluster. And it gives you the usage on how you can call that particular service that is the endpoint that is now deployed on an ACS cluster. How you can call it in either command line or PowerShell. Okay, and just to quickly show this thing off, you can just look for the model management account. In this case, I know I'm using this model management account.
Right.
And you can go to the model management area. in here, as we talked about, you see the manifests, images, and the services that you have deployed.
Okay.
And the cool part here is, I want to emphasize this, this image that I've deployed, it's a Docker image.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pretty much take that image and deploy it anywhere that supports Docker.
Right.
So
right.
that gives you a lot of flexibility in moving across, like from on-prem to cloud and
right. And then you can use Kubernetes or any other basically orchestrator around it
exactly.
if you need something more complex. Okay.
And this shows me the services. And in this case, I have one service. And as you can see, it is deployed inside a container.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on an ACS cluster.
Got it.
Okay, and now I go back to here, and again, just to showcase here, now I can just run it. Basically, now I'm scoring against this service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just making I'm using another command, AZML service run real time, and I'm providing this particular service endpoint, as we have seen here on the Azure portal as well.
Mm-hmm.
And based on these four parameters that I provided where we started with this problem, it is telling me, okay, this flower is Iris Setosa based on whatever inputs I've provided.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I have to talk about.
Well, great, okay. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, I will try to sum up what we've learned today. There's basically new experimentation services, which are specifically designed for data scientists to play around with different models, with different hyperparameters to optimize their models for better accuracy, for better performance. And there is a model management service. So when you're done with the experimentation and you already trained your model, but you can have multiple services or multiple containers actually doing those inference or predictions, to track those guys, you use a model management service. And you demonstrated Workbench. It's a tool, standalone application, which helps you to actually do the first part, data preparation. And I think data preparation part was amazing. It will save a lot of time for if you need to organize your data in particular form, that's going to help you a lot. And then to track all your runs, to track all different hyperparameters. So basically, IML, Azure Machine Learning Workbench is the amazing tool for that.
Yeah,
right.
And I just want to sign off with a couple of quick things. So as you are seeing here, this smiley icon, this is how you can provide us your feedback. Once you click on it, it'll capture whatever screenshot is opened on
mm-hmm.
on the workbench. Feel free to provide your email,
mm-hmm.
provide your comments, and we are more than happy to hear back from you on what you feel about the product.
All right, so anything you think will improve the quality or make your life easier, please write your feedback, and I'm pretty sure you guys can incorporate it.
Yeah, and we definitely look to incorporate that feedback, and also we are rolling out sort of frequent updates to the product as
nice.
Well. As you can see, November 2017 update is already there, and I'm yet to update on it.
Mm-hmm.
So usually whenever an update is due, on this bell icon, you will see some sort of notification. Keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it is related to if you're on an older version of the workbench.
I see. So you will see it on top or maybe on this bell.
You'll see it on the bell for sure.
Got
yes.
it.
And you'll see it here as well, whereby you can click and look at our release notes and what we have added new to the product.
Right.
And also whatever capabilities you have on the workbench,
mm-hmm.
you have pretty much same capabilities except for the data preparation part
mm-hmm.
as a part of Visual Studio Code extension.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the extension, Visual Studio Code Tools for AI,
mm-hmm.
that if you do a Control Alt P, a shortcut, and
mm-hmm.
it will give you all these AI related commands,
nice.
Which are all tied to Azure Machine Learning.
Got it.
So for example, I have one open right here. You can go to the Sample Explorer. That's how you can start and
mm-hmm.
look at things like classifying iris sample, the way I've shown you these samples on the workbench.
Same sample, yeah.
Right?
Makes sense.
And last but not the least, super important, make use of this documentation. Go to help,
mm-hmm.
go to documentation. And there are like quick starts and there are tutorials and we have like a detailed Iris tutorial
mm-hmm.
on how you prepare your data, build model, deploy models, learn more about that advanced data preparation. And
very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed it and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.